There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Good morning. It's Sunday. It's the day after another win. Jay, how's it going?
We are here. We are going up.
Excellent. Excellent. We will see you in a second.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
I don't like. Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit like dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Jay, I'd be honest with you, man. Leaving that nothing spectacular really bit in at the end is really starting to come back to bite you in the backside, really, isn't it?
Not really. We're doing all right now.
We've been nothing but spectacular.
Exactly. I'm okay with that.
Exactly.
It was biting me when we were doing shit and losing to Stoke away and stuff, but
there is also
not so much
that,
now. Not so much now.
So we're here for Plymouth away for our Berardi and Coke, but first and foremost, Jay, if you would roll that VT, please, and just show us what's the crack and who we've got coming on. I thought you had it all sorted.
You mean the one I forgot that I was doing?
Yeah. What, 5 minutes ago?
Yeah. It's just I've got to pause it because it were auto playing. Just give.
Oh, was it? Yeah, so we've got this legend on his way. Whenever Jay can do the technical side of things,
it's coming.
Yes, is it coming?
There we go.
So, I'm sure you're all aware of this young man. So we have the absolute pleasure of welcoming on the legend that is Will Morrissey. How are you doing, Will?
How are you?
I'm all right, Will.
Morning, Will.
Well, we had to get you on, mate. We had to get you on. You absolutely socked it to those Plymouth fans. And we just thought it would be the icing on the cake after playing Plymouth four times to get the man, the legend, on to give us his insight as to how that all came about. But welcome to the show. I hear you're there beside your dad.
Morning.
Morning. How are you doing, Jamie?
Oh, a bit tired, but yeah, okay, thank you.
I can well imagine.
He's staying out of the way because he's not as photogenic as you, Carl.
No, that's it. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. Will's taking the spotlight today, so it's all on Will.
It's all about Will.
So, Will, you headed down to Plymouth yesterday. You're from Doncaster, your dad was saying.
Yeah, between Barnsley and Doncaster, yeah.
Nice one. So you had a long old journey down yesterday. Did you go down yesterday or did you go down the day before?
Yeah, we went down yesterday. It was like about 4 o'clock-ish.
In the morning, 4 o'clock. Oh, God.
Fair play to you. That's a serious
what were that like?
Trek.
What were that like? Because kids don't get up till like midday usually, do they?
Yeah, maybe it was cold.
Yeah, heated seats on in the car and all that, so you'd have been all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Good man.
I bet you were knackered by the time you got there.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, just get yourself a McD's, aren't we? McDonald's breakfast. Good man.
That's the stuff.
Good man.
So Will, you travelled all the way down to Plymouth yesterday, and you're a bit of an internet sensation at the moment amongst the Leeds fan base. Tell us how your day went yesterday. What was the crack? Who did you meet? And who did you walk out with? Give us a bit of insight.
I got down with my Leeds Plymouth fans. Like, we parked wrong on curb and we told us like what to do, and like, because apparently we're strict with tickets and that, like, down there. And we ended up sat in this like Plymouth place without Plymouth fans.
You ended up with Plymouth fans?
Yeah.
In your Leeds shirt?
Yeah.
Good man. So you had an early start to the old clickhousery yesterday, did you? It wasn't even before it was before the game you started your clickhousery, was it?
Yeah.
Good man. I like the sound of that. And so you got to the game anyway, and you were saying that your shirt is signed by a load of players.
Yeah.
Good man. And now
we were busy, like, and we didn't sign it.
So we need to out them now at the moment, because this is going to potentially be a championship winning signing of a jersey. So we need to get the rest of them out. Who do you need to get on it yet, Will?
Gnoto, Kamara and Firpo.
Right. If anyone of them is listening, or anyone at the club, sort this lad's jersey out and fix it up and fill it out.
Hook him up.
So Will, you managed to get the match day mascot.
Yeah.
Who did you end up walking out with?
Ampadu.
Nice. And did he give you any words of encouragement going out? Were you nervous?
No, not really, but yeah, he talked to me about that when we were walking out.
Nice. Must have been good fun for you, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you get to chat to any of the other players beforehand, or?
No, because we were busy, but for sure we were injured for them, weren't we?
Oh, he was.
He talked to me.
Oh, nice. So Adam Forshaw came over talking to you.
Yeah.
Ah, good on him. He seems like a nice old fella, does Adam Forshaw. Like, so.
Bit of a mercenary, but yeah.
Yeah. Lucky. He's injured the whole time, so that's what they do, I think, you know. So
he is.
So Will, after the teams walk out and the players start to get ready for the game, you were escorted around the pitch, but you were can you tell us how this all came about. What happened? What provoked you to kiss the badge and give the Leeds salute? What was it?
So I was just walking around and I could hear him singing, "We all at Leeds come to me."
Oh, man. So
you just thought you'd give him it back.
Yeah.
You're dead right, man. You're dead right. Fair play to you, man. And we noticed that the lady kind of said, "Don't be doing that." What did she say to you?
She was like, trying to tell him to stop, but then I could hear her laughing in the background.
Brilliant.
Are you going back to school on Monday after all this?
Yeah.
You'd be like famous now. You'll be a school celebrity.
Yeah, man, you're all over Leeds internet, like all over Leeds Twitter, man. You've done yourself and your family proud, so keep that work up, all right?
That's it. When you get them extra signatures on that shirt, get it framed and get it on your wall, because you'll keep that forever.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did you get to meet Daniel Farke at all?
No, I didn't really see him. I didn't think he was here.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, he must have been there somewhere.
Yeah, I definitely noticed him on the sideline anyway.
That's a bit annoying. I would have liked to have met him if I were doing that. But
yeah, so
I guess you can't get it all.
But
yeah, well, it sounded like an absolutely fantastic day. Your dad was saying earlier on that you're all knackered now. What time did you get back at yesterday?
About half eight ish.
Half eight, it's a long old start.
It's a long day from 4 a.m. that.
Yeah. Yeah, but you've done the fan base proud, Will. We just wanted to get you on and let you know that you've done well, and we really
absolutely.
So just before we let you go, Will, what did you think of the game yesterday? Give us your view on the result.
It was good. Class.
What was your favourite aspect of it?
Just that we played well, I thought, but we didn't play it best, but I thought we were good.
Yeah.
Did you feel worried at any point that we might not win, or did you were you confident all the way through?
When Rutter hit post, it was like it's going to be one of them days where we don't get another one.
I think you start, and about
you
every other
think that, don't you?
Yeah, you and every other Leeds fan thought exactly the same thing when that happened, I think, Will.
Who's your favourite player, Will?
Rutter or Firpo.
Rutter or Firpo?
That's a left field one there now.
Controversial.
Do you play in defence yourself? Is that why Firpo is maybe your favourite player, is it?
Defence or CDM.
There you go. You see, that's it. Nice. It's all down to the park. We're out wide. That's where you're doing it.
That's
working the magic. And so I'm assuming your phone has been absolutely bombarded with friends talking to you now over the last couple of hours, has it?
Yeah, mine and my dad's has.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. You might have to change them phone numbers soon enough if it carries on, Will.
You have to get yourself an agent soon, Will.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we let you go, are you looking forward to Friday night? Are you both off to the game on Friday?
We are, yeah.
Good stuff.
Have you got a prediction for us?
3-0, Leeds.
See, I like his confidence.
We'll have some of that. I like it.
Oozing confidence. Jamie, what do you reckon the result's going to be?
2-1.
So yeah.
That's the prediction of a man who's seen it all before. And has been.
I was just going to say that's about as been around
United
the United block.
Yeah. I say it's been great to get you on, Will. It's been awesome.
Yeah, well, we do appreciate it, mate. And if you're in the Peacock at all, do come over and say hello to us, Jamie, as well. If you see us around the place at all, yeah, if you're in after.
Absolutely.
After the game, we do usually be around by the other conservatory bit around the side where the blue bar is. So if you fancy coming over and having a Coke, obviously for yourself, Will.
Yeah, we will do. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. No problem at all. Look, thanks very much for joining us, lads. We really do appreciate you coming on. And if there's ever any other times, Will, where you think you're going to be mad famous on Leeds Twitter, hit us up and we'll gladly get you on again. All right.
We will.
All right, you take care of it. Thank you very much, Jamie.
Cheers, lads.
Bye.
See you, lads. Bye.
Ooh. You're not meant to boot me out as well, Carl.
Well, I was just trying to do that with Jamie there, like. But yeah, so
he's a
lovely kid, man. Fair play to him, giving it back like to the Plymouth fans. You got to hand it to him, like he was on his own, walking around, not a bother on him, giving it the big one.
That was a bit of like best, the fact that he had like Plymouth mascots either side of him. He was the only Leeds one, and he still didn't care.
Just he did not give it to us.
Just told him, didn't he?
Yeah, no, I got to hand it to him there. Now Jamie and Gillian have raised a good lad there. Now they know what they're doing, you know.
Absolutely.
So how are you doing anyway?
I'm just going to pick this comment up here from Richard Daniels, because I know Richard Daniels, and he's an arsehole, so I can piss off with that.
So Richard been called out straight off.
I'm still up at 4 drinking when Richard's passed out hours ago usually, so.
Yeah. Usually the case, all right, yeah. So, we got Jamie's insight there into the game a little bit, and he was very happy overall. And I think he echoed a lot of what we thought when Rutter hit the post as well. What was your overall view on the game?
Do you know what? I was quite relaxed throughout it. And, I was watching it, but I walked in and out a couple of times doing things while I watched the game. And normally I'm like, I can't, I'm gripped, I'm sat in front of it. And I felt so chilled watching this game. Because we'd scored so early, I was just a bit like, yeah, we're going to win this now. We're going to win this. But then when you're at the post like that and stuff, you do start wondering, oh God, are we going to pepper them all the rest of the day and not be able to score again, and they're going to nick one later on? Because they are the only side that have scored a goal against us recently. So, you know, there is that psychological element of it as well. In our players' minds, no doubt. But, you know, I didn't feel worried at any point. It was just, it felt like a, I don't want to say a workmanlike performance, but nobody sort of sparkled, but everybody did everything they needed to do at a decent level. But nobody sort of really went above and beyond for me, apart from maybe Donto, because he scored that goal, and he were working hard again, and he kept putting himself in good positions, leaving himself out wide away from markers and stuff, and they were just ready to go at him. And every time he got the ball, he would direct, and he did go, and he was trying to score goals. And I think that if I was going to give someone man of the match, it'd probably him for me. I think it was probably pretty much a 7 out of 10 across the board for everybody. For me, it was, as I say, it was everything it needed to be. But there were no fireworks. There were no one sort of standing out and being the main man.
Do you think was it one of those kind of professional grind out performances that we've kind of been seeing a little bit more of since the turn of the year?
To a degree.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Like yesterday felt in parts. Now I can't imagine the weather helped either. Like it was absolutely lashing it down again. Like, but the weather didn't help in parts for that game as well. The control and first touch of some players was a bit off. I do want to touch on the Nanto thing you mentioned as well. Do you think is he playing that way to prove a point now, or is he playing that way because he's actually back into the run of form and his head straight now, and he's actually just doing it for the team and not just for himself?
I look at his body language and the way he is with the other players, it looks like he's in for the team. Mm. Like when he celebrates and stuff, he looks so happy.
Yeah.
Now, the cynical little voice in the back of my head says maybe his agent's booted him up arse and said, listen, if you don't start playing, you won't be getting a move in summer. If these don't go up, you'll be stuck here. And that's got him going. But yeah. I'm hoping it's not that. I'm hoping that he has sort of reintegrated himself, and you know, he's got his head down, he's back in the zone, and he wants to be there, and he wants to play with his mates and win games and score goals, and I'm hoping that's what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have noticed that the his petulance seems to have been curbed a little bit. Where when he doesn't get a, like, there was flashes of it yesterday, but not to the degree that we've been used to. Where if he doesn't get a decision his own way, he has a bit of a stamp on the ground but I think he started to put that to one side now. Maybe it's just another conversation that Farke has potentially had with him. Just basically saying, look, can't be at that crack. You need to be focused on what you need to do rather than focusing on the ref, you know?
Farke might have said to him, you know, you might want to leave in the future and you're going to have to play well if you want that to happen. I don't want to lose you, but at the end of the day, you're not helping yourself or us if you're playing crap, if you're not getting your head down and working hard. Good things are only going to come to you if you get your head down and work.
Yeah, I think
whichever way those good things might be, you know, whether it's with us or elsewhere or whatever, but you're not going to get any rewards if you're just sulking for a season.
No, not at all. Like, there isn't a cast chance in hell. Like, and he should really be kind of thinking bigger picture as well. He's not out of the Italy squad for the Euros yet either. Like, so there's, you know, he could have inadvertently started jeopardising that particular call-up for that as well. So
I think that's probably something playing on his mind as well.
Yeah, there's quite a few factors there.
He said that was part of his reason wanting to leave in the summer, didn't he? Because he wants to play for Italy. And he don't think he'll get picked. And, you know, but Serie A's crap. It's, you know, so he should be all right if he's doing all right in Championship, right, Carl?
The Championship's one of the top five watch leagues in Europe. Like, so yeah, he's not doing himself any harm. What's that now? Five goals in five games. It's a good return considering he'd only got one prior to that. But then again, we did look at the past performances where he was only getting maybe 10, 15 minutes and hardly able to affect the game properly. Like, So it's nice to see him getting a run of games, and I think Dan James is really going to struggle now to get back in that team.
You've got to feel a bit for Dan James, haven't you? Because he's worked his socks off. He literally couldn't have done any more.
Yeah, his injury came at the wrong time, I think, and it's just the thing is as well, like, maybe the right time for Dan James came at the wrong time for Nanto when he was trying to prove a point, you know, that kind of way. So swings and roundabouts. We've got two players now in a position where they're absolutely firing whenever they're getting the chance. And
it's not a bad position to be in, is it?
I'd much rather have that kind of headache for Farke than not knowing who to play there because they're not being effective enough.
Absolutely. And I like the fact that if someone does do well, you don't automatically get dropped when the guy who was first choice comes back. You get to keep your place until you're not doing well anymore.
I think that sets a good standard for the rest of the squad because they know that...
I do.
That any opportunity that comes along, a player is going to take it. They're absolutely going to take it with both hands, and I think that's probably the best thing for us.
That's it. And if you are in the team, you need something to aim at and you need to feel like you've got a chance of getting back in the team. Otherwise, what are you working for? Do you know what I mean? And Farke makes it clear to these lads that you get your chance and you take it, you'll keep your place.
Yeah.
It's all on them. He puts the focus completely on them. It's all on them to prove that they want it.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest motivators for any kind of player is that the jersey is yours until your performance dips or you get injured. That gives players a lot of motivation to kind of say, right, okay, he's told me it's mine until I mess up.
That's it. And if you're on sidelines, you're going to work hard because you're thinking, well, you know, he might get injured this game.
Mm.
It might be my chance. Obviously, you don't want your mates to get injured, but you know it can happen. And if it does, you need to be ready to take that chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to kind of touch on the game now and not so much the Nando James thing.
Mm.
Our defence looked rock solid again yesterday, Jay. I've seen a few people discussing the whole Melier thing and, you know, his distribution and all that. And I agree to certain terms. But you know what I've always been like? I've kind of been advocating for him for quite a while where my opinion is the keeper is only as good as the defence in front of him.
People
were saying last season, oh, he was letting in shots easy, this and that. And granted, look, there was a couple of, you know, more than a couple last season where he could have done a lot better. Like that Everton goal for Seamus Coleman could have done a lot better.
Yeah, of course.
But when a keeper is facing twice the amount of shots that he's normally used to facing, that's going to reflect badly on him because the defence in front of him aren't doing their job.
That's it, because the stats will only tell you how many he's conceded and how many shots he's had. But like, if you're facing a good striker and you're having to save every shot he takes instead of one out of every three shots he takes, you're going to concede goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so I just wanted to start at the back and work our way forward. Rodon and Ampadu. I like, again, the same with the James scenario. I feel for Pascal.
He's not going to get a look in the way it's going.
Yeah, I think him and Rodon, contrary to what some people were saying, I think him and Rodon were starting to build a good partnership. There was starting to be that understanding building that I think that Ampadu and Rodon have at the moment. But it's a headache that Farke is, I'd say, delighted to have at the moment.
The dilemmas you want, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah. Can you see it changing in the near future? Do you think maybe Chelsea, he might change it up a bit and try and get Pascal some minutes in his legs against Chelsea?
It depends if he's capable of playing. We don't know where he's at, really, do we?
Mm. Well, there was talk.
He said it was looking like a longer thing than we thought, didn't he? And I don't know when he's due back at this point.
Oh, is that the case? Is it? I thought he mentioned there on Thursday in his press conference or Friday that he might have been free to be in the squad for Chelsea or Leicester.
Okay, I've completely missed that. If he did.
Maybe it was Bamford he was on about. Perhaps.
I'm just learning this for the first time.
All right. Maybe it was Bamford he was on about.
Someone in the comments might be able to tell us which one he mentioned because, you know, we're useless. But if he is sort of capable of playing, then I think it's probably too soon. I don't see him starting either way, if I'm honest. But I could see him bringing him on for minutes if the situation allows, if he is ready to play.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm a bit torn whether he's going to stick with these lads because it's our strongest side against a strong side, or whether he's going to continue to rotate for the cups, which I think he should. I mean, everyone wants to try and get one over on Chelsea, but ultimately, what's the point of doing that if it derails our championship season and we are so so in that fight with Southampton, and even Leicester, if we beat them Friday, we can't afford to slip up. We can't afford to lose a game at the moment. That's how tense it is.
There's a lot
of pressure on these players now. They're doing really well to deal with it.
I was looking at, I went through the Southampton hashtag, the Saints hashtag there yesterday, and there was a lot of them kind of giving it the big and going, oh, we've got this game in hand, and we've, you know, it's only against Hull, but it's not just because it's like I've said to people, I'd rather be in our position where we've got points on the board.
Yeah.
And they have to chase us. And I replied to a few of them. I don't care. I was just like, at the end of the day, you still have to win that game. You haven't got them points yet. The game in hand is all good. Morning, Danny. Absolutely. Over at Not Another Leeds Pod. I'd rather be in our position than in Southampton's position, if I'm being perfectly honest with you.
Me too.
I think coming up to the Leicester game next Friday, I think it's massive. But going back to the Plymouth game, in midfield, we're starting to really tick at the moment with that triangle of Kamara, Gruev and Rutter. Now, Rutter was in large portions, and for a lot of people, he was kind of off the boil yesterday.
Even
though he got man of the match, which was strange. I thought Nanto would have probably got man of the match in my eyes. Do you like how it's going? And do you feel sorry for Roberts not getting a look in at right back, because Archie Gray is absolutely shining there as well?
Not really. I don't feel sorry for him at all, because it means that things are going well for Archie and for Leeds. So, you know, I sympathise a little, I guess, but not too much, because I just want to see us play well. And I don't particularly care who it is that's playing well, as long as whoever's in the team is giving 100%, do you know what I mean? And at this moment in time, I'm not dropping Archie.
No.
Certainly not. As for Rutter, I think he was involved in a lot, and he did that crazy pass that Nanto scored from, which I've got no idea how he did, because he didn't have time to look and measure it or anything like that. The ball sort of bounced in front of him, he just booted it, and it just dropped at Nanto's feet. And it's just like, how do you do that?
Do you think that, does that go back to the point you made earlier, where you were saying that Nanto was actually finding himself out wide quite a bit rather than coming in narrow? Do you think that an instruction now is like, whenever we're one side of the field, if we have that opportunity of a big switch, make sure you're out wide? Do you think, is that something that they've kind of done, rather than, you know, you were saying, how did he have time to do that? He didn't even look. But if he's told prior to that, that's where people are going to be,
then,
you know, maybe it's something along them lines rather than just pot luck, really.
Well, that's a good point. And I mean, you've done coaching, so you know, if players get told these kinds of things, to me, I would just like, I took it at face value and that it were a genius pass, but you could be right. It could be, if you get that ball and you're tight against our wing and it's busy, bang it right over the other side. Will they be waiting for it? That could well be what they've been told, and it worked to perfection. Mm. And that the way he sort of brought that ball and then like knocked it over that defender, went round him. George Weah-esque that.
He didn't even knock it round him. He had the audacity.
He knocked it over him, didn't he?
No, it was basically around torso height. He kind of just knocked it around him.
Yeah, I remember it was off the ground.
Man, to say in that type of situation that you've got the calm and the guile to do something like that, I think it shows a lot about Nanto's confidence at the moment.
It does. You don't just pull that out of your ass if you're not on it, do you?
Nah. Absolutely not. Like, do you think Kamara might be slowing up in final stages of the game? He looked a bit leggy there yesterday. Now, granted, the pitch was probably heavy, like, but
I think a few of them were a bit leggy, to be fair. I think that's the reason that Rutter wasn't at his best. Like, that looked like fatigue to me, you know, that he just couldn't quite do things he was trying to do. That's just fatigue for me. I think that having the full week now before we play Leicester is a right bonus. If we'd have had to play sort of Tuesday and then play them at the weekend or something, I think we'd have struggled. But we've got time now that we needed, because we've done a lot of travelling, we've played a lot of games, and it's just time to try and get a bit of energy back in them legs and get everyone focused on this final push now.
Yeah, I think a week off now is probably going to suit us, do the world of good for us, like, you know. I'll be honest, I watched a bit of the Leicester game yesterday against Borough. Well, I say I watched a bit, I watched it all, because quite frankly, it meant a lot for us that Borough kind of came away with something there, and they came away with a 2-1 win.
Yeah.
In relation to our form and how you think Leicester are playing, who do you think is going to have the biggest kind of, how do I want to phrase it now? The momentum, who do you think the momentum, like obviously Middlesbrough have lost yesterday, or Leicester lost yesterday, but at the same time, they're still 9 points clear. Do you think we have more of the momentum going into that game now because we're off the back of a win? Their morale might be down because they've just lost 2-1.
Mate, look at our record. Look at our record in this calendar year. We've conceded one goal. We've won 8 games in a row. I would say that momentum is well and truly on our side right now, but we have to make sure that we don't get complacent with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think Farc maybe has the players kind of grounded enough to be able to go, right, you know, let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. We're still 9 off. I did like his comment where he said, when he was asked, will Leicester win the league? And he said, they'll definitely finish in the top 2. I think he knows we're going to catch him.
I think so. And I think this was always his plan, to come on strong at the end. I think he's been around long enough to know that, you know, you can't come out of chaos and hit the ground running. But he as near as damn it got to that. We were ropey for a few games early doors, and then we got our act together, and then we sort of suffered a few times on the road because we weren't quite fully up to speed. But it's like a well-oiled machine now. He's got everything going. Everyone's going in the same direction. He's dealt with fucking attempted mutiny. He's dealt with not knowing which players are going to be in his team. He's dealt with injuries. It's just, I mean, if there's anybody that still wants rid of the guy, then I don't know what to tell him, and I can't speak to you if that's how you
need the head check. Like,
yeah, there's nothing I can do for you.
Dan James has joined us this morning, apparently.
Has he?
And he said they watched Leicester on the way back up on the bus yesterday.
Fantastic.
He's confident we can beat them. Thanks, Dan.
I think it's Don James, but it's near enough.
Oh, I didn't need to ask him. Jesus. Honestly,
maybe that's his dad. I've got the form table here just while we're on about it.
Oh, we're doing this now, are we?
And we are at the top of that table. And I would not be shocked if that was how the top 2 finished.
Do you think?
It's hard to see Leicester falling away, but it does happen. You do see these sides that as soon as they hit the buffers, they can't recover. Now, I'm not convinced that'll happen to them, but I think there's a good chance. Anything's possible at this point.
And to be fair, we had an 11-point lead at one point, and we completely calfed that. So,
and what did Leicester have? About 18 at one point.
Yeah, they were 17 ahead of us at one point. Like,
and they could be 6 ahead of us by Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why
is that your stomach that keeps going, by the way? Because I keep hearing something.
I'm not quite sure. I did eat before I started. Like, so.
Well, your mic's very good if that's the case, mate.
Oh, sweet. Well, it could also be my chair. It's one of those squeaky leathery ones. Oh, which
okay, fair enough.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
But yeah, no, I'm not saying I expect Leicester to fall apart or anything, but should we beat them? You never know. That would be two defeats on the bounce for a club that didn't really know what defeat tasted like this season, apart from when we beat them, obviously, because the L is for Leeds. But yeah, we'll see what happens. We have to go in there looking to hurt them and looking to try and get back in that race because it's not over.
Yeah. To try and not get away from the Plymouth game because we're motoring towards
a it's easy to digress. Do you think
Plymouth after let's be honest, essentially three defeats out of three when they played us. Do you think that played on their minds a little bit? Because I don't think they came out with the same gusto that they did in the previous games.
I think they were. They were probably a lot more conscious of being hurt on the counter this time. They didn't really seem to be trying that much. They tried to get Miller involved a few times again, which, apart from when he put that one cross in, and was it Wayne missed it?
Edge.
Yeah, they should have scored there. They should have scored there. And that, but that was all they really did. And again, I think Archie dealt with Miller brilliantly. Like that first time he played him, he would turn him inside out, wouldn't he? But ever since, he's just been superior to him. He's had him in his pocket for the most part.
He has indeed. Yeah, you can't take that away from the lad now. At the moment,
he's immense. He gets better every game.
He's playing some fantastic football in a position where, granted, he played for England under 17s when they won the under 17s World Cup or Euros, I think. But his natural position is more bombing forward midfielder, you know.
Just because you've played a position in kids' football, essentially, even though it's high-level kids' football, it's not the same as playing it in proper men's football, is it? When you've got a tricky winger who'll use every trick in the book, you know, to either get you booked or leave you for toast.
That's the thing. And I think we saw a little bit of that with Jack Clark when we played Sunderland in the first half. I think it took Archie nearly 30-odd minutes to get to grips with him. But by that time, he'd already got booked. But Clark is very much a stop, go again merchant, you know? So
yeah, he is, yeah.
Once Archie figured that out, he done a lot better job on him in the second half.
He started to learn, like, to leave a bit of space so he had a start on him if he had to run with him and stuff like that, didn't he? He learns very quickly how to play a particular player and how to position himself. And that's up there that you can't teach. There's just something that the kid's got.
It's in his genes.
Him from other players. Yeah.
It's in his genes. Like that whole family, absolute magic with a ball at their feet. Like,
absolutely. Born with like muscle memory or something for kicking a ball.
Must be twitches and stuff. Yeah. Just before we go on to talk about the goals in the second half, we'll just go through a few comments here, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure, mate.
I starred
a few for you.
Hey, Gilly reminds me of Chris Martin from Coldplay. Okay, thanks for that, Michael. Michael actually asked where Gilly was today.
He was asking where he was. Yeah,
yeah, he's probably head deep in spreadsheets somewhere. He loves a good spreadsheet, does Gilly? So that's why we have him in charge of the predictions league because it's just spreadsheet central for him. He loves it.
That's it.
How come Carl has got a Hull City top on? I actually don't. It's just a regular kind of T-shirt, and that's just purely coincidental. Sorry about that, the Ron Devey. We've got Skip here, a professional job. Well, I don't know. Are you talking about the Leeds result yesterday or the fact that we were late against Skip? Sometimes when you take the mick out of us like that, we can't really tell. So if you're talking about the game...
He posted it during some of the game chat, so I'm going to take it as that.
All right, okay, yeah, sad.
Yeah.
We have an outsider coming in to the chat. It's a Barnsley Red and White Army. He said, "Morning all from Barnsley."
Welcome.
Fan here. I am happy clapper Barnsley 1-2. Well, fair play to you. That's not too bad.
It's always good when we're all happy in Yorkshire.
Yeah. Makes for a good old weekend, doesn't it?
It does.
Skip back in again. Kamara Gruev are undroppable, even if Roberts replaces Archie permanently at right back. Again, Yeah, mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, Jay, I can't see Roberts stepping in ahead of Archie anytime soon, really. No. Unless there's an injury to Kamara or Gruev, touch wood, there isn't. That's the only time I
could... An injury to Archie.
Well, yeah, that's the only time I could really see Archie going back into midfield at the moment, as if there is an injury to either of those two.
So,
Michael Gott, competition is breeding success. It very much is, mate. Very much is. And we have Liam B here. How are you, Liam? Not doing the last five games, being a different player. Class. Absolutely. He's certainly upped his game. He looks happier. He looks fitter, to be fair.
He does. And
I think it's time to just now, for the moment, obviously, with some fans, they still have that gripe with what happened during the summer. But look, at the moment, I think we should all just put that to one side, support the lad. He's doing what he needs to do. And then whatever conversations need to be had in the summer, they need to be had. But I think just support the lad now and don't be getting on his back. He's doing a great job. So fair play to him. We have a last one here for now. We have Kenny Campbell. Farc has exceeded expectations. Knew he was too good at this level, but seeing how he operates is an eye-opener. Think he will do well with backing in the Premier League. Kenny, I absolutely fully agree with that. I was reading when we did sign him as manager that his record in the Premier League was absolutely shocking. But when you look into the finances and who they brought in and what they were allowed to spend, they only spent like 28
million. £5 million on one of the seasons. He spent million.
Yeah, but 25 million in two seasons in the Premier League is what they spent. So if you're like, I'm guilty of it. I was judging them off that until I heard that. If you're not going to back a manager in the Premier League, then you can't expect success at all.
Without trying to digress too far again, because we keep doing it, but I don't. If a club spends that, then they're obviously prepared to go back down and yo-yo. They're saying that's fine with us. That suits our business plan, our model. So why then do you do that, then sack the manager when it's not going well?
See, the other thing as well, we don't know what the behind the scenes was there. Farc could have been asking for too much money to spend. He could have been asking for this. He could have been asking for that. You don't know.
He could have been asking for any money to spend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So there's a few good comments there. We'll get into the second half a bit, Jay.
Yes.
Did you feel we came out with the same kind of emphasis in attack in the second half as we did in the first? I thought we set back quite a bit in the first half, early doors, and let them come into it a little bit.
I think you're probably right there. I think there is, like, because we've seen this so many times now, I think there's an element in Farke's game plan where he tells them to back off a bit and sort of conserve a bit of energy. I can't remember if it was Plymouth that we did this against at Elland Road, but I remember we were sitting back for about 20 minutes just soaking up pressure. We weren't really attempting to win the ball and come out. We were just staying in two banks of four and we were just soaking it up, defending, knocking it out, defending, knocking it out. And then we took hold of it again and we took control of the game again. I can't remember if it was them. It might have been them. But I think that's something he tells them to do sometimes. I think he tells them to back off and just soak it up a little bit and conserve and then come on strong again in the last quarter of the game. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
But sometimes, obviously, that's not going to work for you, but we seem to do all right with it. But it does cost you the momentum in the game and it can be hard to get it back.
Yeah, no, I get that, yeah. Sometimes it's harder. I think yesterday was Plymouth.
It was them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think over the last few games against Plymouth, I don't know if it's due to the fact that they knew us inside out and they knew what we were going to do, or we knew them inside out and we kind of decided to play a different way here and there. It's hard to tell, really, but Gilly and Smarty and Danny from another Leeds pod made a good point there, or was it on Wednesday when we did the pod, where Gilly brought up a chart showing that the previous game, we did actually drop off quite a bit in the start of the second half. And it was
only I remember that the momentum bar graph thing.
So I don't want to kind of think that it's a pattern that we seem to be falling into, because against the bigger teams and the better teams, they'll punish us inside those 15 or 20 minutes. I think sometimes we found this season where we have been on top and we've got sucker punched. It's been in and around those kind of areas that we have done, like, you know. Yesterday, I was happy enough with the performance, albeit I thought, again, it's one of them where we could have ended the game about 5 or 6 nil up, but, you know.
Yeah, but we didn't press it home.
No, we did hit the post from Rutter. I thought it was, like we were saying to the lads earlier on, Will and his dad, he Will actually mentioned that he felt like it could have been one of those days when Rutter hit the post.
It did, and yeah, it did.
It just shows what a traumatic effect that's even having on our younger supporters.
That's it. He's too young to remember all the real bad times.
Yeah, that's it. So we probably have his dad to thank for instilling those harsh memories on him.
Generational trauma, it's called.
Generational trauma, And then poor old Dan James came off the bench, tried to prove a point that he should be in the starting 11, and he cracks the crossbar.
I tell you, that were a great free kick. I didn't know he could do that.
I genuinely didn't know he was actually going to try and have a go at that, to be fair.
I think he beat the keeper if he'd have got it on target.
Yeah. Well, essentially it was a lick of paint away from being on target, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah. There were a few good things in the second half. Like, we're sort of talking about it like it was shit, but I mean, the pass from Pirou for Ritter's goal was superb. One of the things he gets criticised for is his link-up play is not great. You know, that were great. That were a great ball. He saw him. He played a perfect ball to him, and we scored from it. Do you know what I mean? And
he's done his job there. Yeah, the only thing that I fear from that is that if Patrick isn't back for Leicester, do we revert to Pirro in the 10 and Rutter in the 9, because Rutter's just scored like in the 9. And it's like, don't revert, because we're having more joy playing the way we're playing than we were previously, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of hoping that's not a yardstick to kind of be like, yeah, well, we can get away with that against Leicester, because we're not going to get away with that against Leicester. They're a different kettle of fish altogether, like, you know what I mean?
You've got to have everyone on it and in the right positions and knowing what the job is against a team like Leicester, haven't you?
Yeah. Simon Coley makes a good point here. Plymouth normally at home are a lot stronger and forward thinking. They had no legs but had a go. I think we defended well, and Hay and Meslier caught hold of the ball. He did actually catch the ball a couple of times, Simon. That's
special day.
That's a great observation, I'm not going to lie. But I have heard that before as well regarding Plymouth. Like, they're very strong at home, but they concede a lot of goals at home. They concede like a lot of goals. And you can see why their fans might be a little bit frustrated with that, because they do try and come at you and they do try and attack you, but they do leave themselves very vulnerable in the back then as well, you know?
Yeah, they do.
Jamie is saying there, Gruevis coming on leaps and bounds. Absolutely. I think he's gone beyond the leaps and bounds now.
Do you know what he's starting to remind me of a little bit? And I'm saying this quietly, but the way he goes about and the way he tackles, the way he tracks his man, and it's got a little bit of the Olivier Decor about him. But at a lower level, but at this level.
Them some big boots to be filling, like.
I'm saying it now. He's got that kind of air about him, the way he plays his game. I like it.
Whisper it quietly.
He probably wouldn't be an Olivier Decor if he was playing in our team in the Premier League. He'd probably look half as good. But like at this level, he is like that kind of player in this side.
Yeah. I think
I loved him, by the way.
Yeah. Class, and that's one of the things that I'm kind of looking at now with Chelsea coming up at the week next week, is I want to see what the likes of him are going to be like tested against Premier League midfielders. Can he still pull out those challenges? Can he still play that ball? Can he still find the time on the ball that he seems to be finding himself in smaller, tight positions and play it the same kind of way. So that'd be very interesting. I think his progress has been absolutely fantastic, if I'm honest.
Oh, I do. Like when he came in that first game where it's Stoke that he first played, and we saw him and we were all like, oh, Jesus, this guy's a dud.
Yeah.
He looked miles off it. Like I would never have predicted he was going to become what he has become.
Yeah.
And again, you've got to put that down to coaching, Farker. You know, how easy would it be to get inside your own head after a performance like a Stoke game and think, I'm not up to this. I'm not good enough. I'm not cut out for it.
Yeah,
no. Farker's managed him and he's brought him back and look at him now.
I think that's a very good point, Jay, because he also got promoted with Werder Bremen last season in Germany.
That's right.
And one of the things I've said to someone previously is that Farke has managed in Germany. He knows what's expected in the German league, but he also knows what's expected in the English league. So for Farke to bring in Gruev, knowing he played in Germany and knowing how he needed to get him about the place, I think it's been one of the most miraculous turnarounds from a 90 minutes where he looked completely out of his depth to being undroppable in our midfield up until yesterday. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's an insane kind of path for him at the moment. It's only been like a 3 month kind of injection of Gruev we've actually seen, considering how little he's played up until that point.
He's an absolute perfect example of taking your chance, though, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Go on, man. Keep going. I don't want to derail you yet because I'll be changing the subject.
That's okay. So yeah, no, I was just I was going to just start chatting a bit about the front four then. We've done midfield, and if this leads into the front four, then belt away.
It kind of does. It's more of a controversy, but let's go for it.
Go for it.
You know what's coming here, don't you?
Oh, balls. Yep.
That's a free kick apparently outside the box.
See, yeah, I'm
please,
not convinced.
Please explain it to me.
Right, okay, so we had Gilly getting the rules up and putting them in the group chat there, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And the EFL law states that where the initial foul is committed, if the foul carries on, it's where the initial foul was committed, according to the laws that I think Gilly provided, wasn't it?
And that was from the EFL website. Is he fouling him before they cross that line?
I don't think he's fouling him at all before. No, I don't think he's fouling him at all before he crosses that line. I think the foul happens in the box.
But you think that the referee thought the foul started there?
Yeah, that can be my only conclusion as to why he's not given a penalty there. Because you can see it kind of, the defender has his arms around James, but I don't think there's enough there for a foul.
Mm.
And then when it gets in the box, the ref's arse falls out. And he's like, oh, shit. Right, okay, I'm bringing it back here now because, let's be honest, it was a foul outside the box. I don't get it.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I think it's harder to understand the rules the more they change them on the fly. Like they're doing them like on the fly. Essentially.
Well, we've seen it before, haven't we? When, in the Premier League when they changed the handball rule.
Yeah,
and after it already cost us
against us. Yeah, yeah.
Just going to bring it up again. I just want to watch it one more time.
Absolutely, man.
Because I am not convinced there's a foul before he gets in the box. That is just tussling. He's not. He has his arm around him, but he's not. He's not pulling at him. He's not. He's just like he's tussling with him.
There's no foul until he's in the box. That's the foul.
Yeah, it's the leg across, and yeah, James makes a bit of a meal of it, but he's entitled to. You know, we saw what happened to Ruta when he didn't go down last week. So. Yeah.
It's like Patrick Bamford said one time when he got fouled about three or four times in the penalty box. He was like, do I have to dive to win a penalty?
I remember that. I shouted it at him, didn't
he? He did, yeah. It was clear as day because it was only half. It's all a bit mad.
Do you think James gets that from being a quick player and they think he just goes down easy if he gets touched?
I think he's too quick for the referees to make a logical decision sometimes.
Yeah.
I think so. What happens to him deliberately, and it is a foul, but I think that it happens so quick that he's so quick that when he does get fouled, it doesn't look like it might be particularly a foul or it might be a penalty. Like that one there, no, that's a stonewall penalty for me all day. There's no aggressive tackle outside the box to warrant bringing it back for a free kick. The aggression happens inside the box when he absolutely cleans him out.
I'm just looking at this now. You can see the liner there, how far away it's like. Because I was thinking at the time, why is the lino not said anything? But he can't tell whether he was being fouled or not from there. Should we have a lino in every quarter of the pitch?
Well, they tried that in the Euros, didn't they? And the UEFA Cup and all that, where they had the referee's assistant behind the goals.
They were
as useless as tits on a bull, like, because they weren't allowed to make any calls.
But so have two linos on each side, one for each half. You know, on each side. Why not just
doesn't
do
work that way then, because who's going to bleed and call for offside then? Like, so one calls for offside and the other goes, Aaron, no, that's not offside.
You've got three people and you've got two linos and the ref, so the ref makes final decision.
I don't know. I think that might be a pie in the sky effort, that, yeah.
Probably. I'm just trying to think of stuff that could stop these things happening, but every time you try and implement anything, it makes it worse, doesn't it, in our game. So
Yeah. So we'll move along quickly to the front four. Obviously, the game kind of changed around a little bit when Pirou went back into the number 10 and Rutter went up top. I probably thought that was a great decision at the time because Rutter wasn't really having any effect in the 10 role. His touch was heavy. He was getting doubled up on quite regularly when he got the ball. There was quite a few fouls that I would have considered fouls on him. That weren't given. But as soon as he went up front, then it was a case that the two centre-backs didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, so, Rutter doesn't get any fouls. Ivory doesn't get free kicks.
No, that's the thing. Like, yeah, so I just thought with Rutter going up front, it gave us the option of the two centre-backs not knowing who to mark. Do they drop deep, take on Pirou? Do they kind of double up and leave space in between for the two wide men? It does add another bit, but I think that's also what Paddy brings. He always occupies two centre backs whenever the ball is in a forward motion for us in the attacking third.
But in a very different way.
In a very different way. But I still think that's probably our best way of playing, is trying to get our front man to occupy as many centre backs as he can at any one time. I think with Pirou, it's no slight on Pirou. He just doesn't have the pace to be able to pull off that kind of role, because with Paddy, he's constantly running the line, constantly looking for the runs in behind. If Pirou doesn't have the pace or the legs to be able to do that, then that kind of formation and that way of playing isn't as effective. But then when we put Georgie up there, automatically the defenders go, right, well, what are we doing here? Like, this guy's got legs to burn. Not had a great game, but he can change a game, which we saw yesterday.
And he just runs for full 90 minutes, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't
that's
stop.
That's the thing. Yeah.
You won't get a break.
Yeah, I think so. Like, so I'm happy enough with the front four yesterday, regardless of the change around with Rutter and Pirou and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, we won the game, Carl. You can't argue too much, can you? We scored a couple of goals. We should have had a penalty. You know, we did all right for me. Like I said before, when we were on about sort of early on in the pod, like, nobody was spectacular. It were kind of a 7 out of 10 across the board, but everybody did the jobs and they did them pretty well for the most part of the game. I think Somerville were probably way below his own standard, but it was still decent. It was still probably a 7 out of 10. It's just that when he's on his game, he's like a 9 or a 10 because he's up here. His ceiling higher than most of the players. So he can play badly by his standards, but still have a decent enough game, if you know what I mean.
Joe Bedford makes a good point. Joe does the ref watch, isn't it?
Yeah, she does. Yeah,
yeah.
Which is decent. Should check it out if you're not.
Yeah, yeah. It's very good thread on each ref that's coming up playing a ref in a Leeds game in the future. She'll have one out soon.
Tell you what colour underwear he wears, what he likes for breakfast.
Yeah,
where he's from, all that.
But she just makes a point there regarding you're trying to get more assistance. It's like she says, it's pointless having more assistant referees. These days, refs just generally tell them to don't flag, etc. This is what, like, I've brought this up before. It's one of my gripes when we're at home. where the linesman is about 5 feet away and he won't put up his flag, whether it be a free kick, a throw in, offside. Like, they will, what, like, they're called assistants. The idea behind an assistant is to help
assist
the referee. So if they're not putting up their flags, Joe's got a point. What's the point in having them?
Yeah, that's it. And you're watching him, you're screaming at him, you're like, put your fucking flag up! You know? And then like, once the scored, then flag goes up, and you're like, you could have done that 2 minutes ago when you first run through. Why have you waited?
Yeah. But then
I hate it.
You get the referee who's standing in the center circle giving a throw in that's down in our bleeding corner. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, just do your job, lads. You're paid to do a job.
Exactly.
So, look, let's I want to get on to some starred messages just here before we finish up, Jay. Is that all right?
Yeah.
So Skip has put in one here. He still think Leicester will win the league. Straight fight out between us and Southampton. Ipswich, not an issue for us, although they are on the same points soon. But again, they do have to win that game in hand, Skip. So I'd rather be in our position with points on the board than in Southampton and Ipswich's positions.
Bit mad if they don't end up even in playoffs, wouldn't it? If they just completely fell off. Oh, stranger things have happened.
Yeah. Deck Buckley, I'm a little bit late to the party, but good to see the dream team. Carl and Jay on duty. Nice one, Deco. Kev Campbell has come in. We obviously aim for the title, and if we look upwards, below us takes care of itself.
We've
mentioned it a couple of times on this on the pod, Jay, where we've all been unanimous and going, let's just catch second first, and then if first comes along, happy days, we can do whatever we want to do then, like, you know.
Yeah, and we've all said, just keep doing our job.
Yeah.
That's all we can do. Focus on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Alison is in. How are you, Alison? Long-time watcher. Hoover in the chat. Ipswich have an easy run-in. They probably have the easiest of all of them.
But they've won 2 in 10, so I'm not worrying too much yet.
Yeah, that's a good statistic.
Ask me again in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Michael's in with another one here. With Ipswich winning, I think they've put pressure on Southampton. May make Southampton wobble a bit. See, this is the thing. As long as we're in second, anything Ipswich do below us is going to worry Southampton before it worries us.
That's right.
So psychologically, that's massive.
And Southampton's game in hand, to me, I just think of as being our last game on the last day.
I'm still convinced we'll be 3 points clear of Southampton in second.
I hope so.
I put my head on above the parapet again on Joe's pod there last week, and I'm not going to repeat it because I'll get absolutely slated.
Can repeat it on air. No one watches this pod, so you won't get picked up for it.
There's bleeding 100 people watching it now. I ain't saying that. Like, absolutely not. I'm sure Joe will clip it out if it happens, so it'll be all right.
Sure he will, yeah.
Again, Michael got with another one here. There's always a nervous middle 40 when you go up one or go one up 20 minutes before half time and 20 minutes after half time. That's absolutely spot on, Michael. That's
what we're just saying.
Yeah. But the thing is, the main thing is that point is a great one there. But the main thing is when you go one up. So it's not about going one down that happens. It only seems to be when we go one up.
Yeah.
So right. I'd rather it happens when we're one up and we can still hold out the attacking team than go one down and that happen.
Did you see that stat yesterday during the game where it said points or games won from where we scored first?
Yeah.
And it was like we'd won 15 and drawn 2 or something. We'd not lost any.
That's the mad thing.
That's a great record.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Matt Leeds here. How are you doing, Matt? If we win the league, would Leicester be one of the biggest bottles since they were so many points ahead? Well, to be fair, they were more points ahead than us than when we bottled it under Bielsa's first year. So, Matt, I would have to agree that would be the biggest bottle job going if we did win the league.
They would be in for some real stick, wouldn't they? Yeah. I mean, the amount of shit we got off opposition fans, who were delighted when we blew it, because everyone always is. I'll be giving it out left, right, and centre if they blow it.
Left hooks everywhere.
I can only imagine what Luke will be like and Gilly arguing with people. So, it'll be chaos.
They make valid points and just look like they're arguing. finally, in this comment section, Liam B, you're closing in on 2K, lads. Well done. Brilliant new YouTube channel. Here.
Thank you.
Anyone new to the pod, please like and subscribe and maybe turn on the old notification bell. We don't do all them fancy graphics down the bottom, probably because we don't know how. but please do like and subscribe if you're new to the channel today. That'll be absolutely brilliant, and nice to have you all along if you're new.
We do our best to put the content out for you guys.
Yeah, that's it. Jammy
we're
in there.
We try to be entertaining.
We are part of the Lutang clan, so that's okay.
That's right.
So, Jay, just before we finish up, man, have you anything else that you'd maybe like to touch on before we go?
Not really, mate. I think I'm all good. We've got the charity walk coming up, haven't we?
Yeah.
Is it 23rd of March we're doing that?
I'll
be amazed if that's right, because I can't remember.
That's Saturday, dates. Then you're... What, Jay?
Have I got it? Have I got
Dang.
It? Oh, come on.
If you're
Let's do 90s, it.
If you're a 90s kid, you know what sang means. From where it comes from.
We got a charity walk, aren't we? We're doing the walk around the Leeds United murals, and is it 23 miles or was it 18 miles or something? Something mad.
It would have been like 25 or 26 if we were going out to Minston, I think, to do that one on the side of a shed.
Either way, it's going to kill me.
Yeah. Well, chocolate knees isn't coming anymore, but to be fair to him, he is absolutely gutted that he can't make it, and he's genuine about it. He really wanted to do it. He really wanted to be involved in it, but Luke's chocolate knees just don't allow those types of things anymore.
Well, that's it, because Luke expended himself too much when he was younger.
Well, he played a lot of rugby, didn't he? So you can understand why his knees are the way they are when you're playing that. It's just he should be just grateful he doesn't have cauliflower ears.
Absolutely. He wouldn't want to look any worse.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, thanks very much for joining us, folks. We're going to finish up there. Watch out for the pod on Tuesday. Again, we're absolutely clueless. We've no idea who's going to be on it, but it will be on. Probably about 5 minutes later than advertised.
It'll probably be us again.
Probably us again, yeah. But we do appreciate you joining us on a Sunday morning. It's Sunday afternoon now. So, look, thanks very much. Have a good week, and hopefully... We'll see you Tuesday, and maybe for a pint on Friday night after the Leicester game.
Maybe so. And just keep an eye on the socials for the charity walk stuff, and there's more detail on there.
Yeah. Thanks a million, folks. Take care.
Cheers, guys.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke Aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.